Welcome to the High and Low Podcast. This is your host, Bravo, Bravo, Ducking Bravo. We're going to do something a little bit different today. There are no Housewives shows on right now. We're in a drought, but don't complain about it. Enjoy it. It's not going to be like this forever. They're going to be hitting us with two Real Housewives per night again. First of all, let me just say, that is not necessary. Those nights, they drain me. Okay, we can't be doing that to the fans. Why do they ever do back-to-backs? I don't think it's necessary. Give each show its own night. Don't back-to-back me. It's not sustainable. I can't do it, especially for those of us who try to recap it for others, because as we know, there's too many shows, and some of us have to recap and watch recaps to keep up with all of it. Don't do two shows in a night. I'd be fine with them doing a Friday night show, because at this point, what does it matter? You know what I mean? You don't have to double up on a Sunday night on the Sunday scaries. You're going to do that to us? Also, like, there's nothing worse than when HBO has its hot show, whatever it is, if it's Game of Thrones or whatever they're going to be cooking up next, and then you got to juggle that plus two Bravo shows. Don't stress me out, is what I'm saying. Speaking of not being stressed out, yesterday was 420. I got the highest, I think. Was it the highest I've ever been? It's a toss-up between what happened to me yesterday and the first time I ever took a gummy, which many of you remember. I bought a gummy. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know anybody who took edibles. I could have had some patience. I could have gone online. I could have said, hey, people who take gummies, help me out here. How much should I start with? But I didn't do that. I ate the whole thing. And it was a 10 milligram one. And I was like, that doesn't sound like a lot. 10 sounds like a low number. I'll do that. And I paid a price for that. I couldn't move for a couple of hours. It was a really fun time, though. What a way to go for, you know, your first time. Why not? It wasn't like 10 is pretty high for a first time, but it's not like ridiculous. If I'd done like a 20 or something, I would have been in real trouble. I would have made that 911 call I've played on this show before where the cop took a bunch of weed from people, turned it into brownies, ate it with his wife, and called 911 because time was moving too slow and he thought he was dying. That could have happened to me if I'd taken more than 10. Now, yesterday, here's what happened. Yesterday, I left my house. I'm out. I'm doing things. I'm talking to people. I'm meeting strangers. And this person who runs this company is like, oh, I have the best gummies. Try one of these. Give me a little pack, sealed pack, right? And it was just like these translucent green gummies. Had no information on the pack. And normally you say to yourself, I need to ask questions. I need to understand before I just eat this. But the vibe was so good in the air. I took a tiny bite, tasted nothing. Nothing but sweetness and goodness. Sometimes when you take a gummy, you taste a little bit of the plant. You're like, okay, that's a little strong. This tasted like nothing. Oh, this is going to lead me to it. This is going to lead me to another story in a minute here, but hold on. So I take a little corner of it and I was like, this is delightful. And then I did a rookie mistake, all right? Rookie mistake I made was I waited like 30 minutes and I was like, I feel nothing. I feel nada. I need a little bit more than that. And I was like, let me just eat a little bit more. So wait a little bit more. Then half of the gummy is gone. We're talking about like the size of my thumb, okay, gummy? Size of a human lady's thumb. And I was like, just still not feeling anything. I ate the whole thing. I know, okay? I ate the whole thing and I was around a bunch of people and strangers and I felt it hitting and there's nothing like it. You just feel like your legs are floating and then you just feel like your whole body's floating. You feel the warmth everywhere. Everything seems funny. Everything seems wonderful. It's great. Hard to keep your eyes open though. But you know what? Everybody else is going through it too. Everybody else who's out to have a good time on 420, we're all dealing with the same stuff. We're all a little snacky. We all have a hard time keeping our eyes open and we're all laughing and we're all in a good mood. It was a great day. It really was. I got such good sleep. Now, the other story I was thinking of was the first time in my life, I think I just graduated from college, that I ever had a green apple martini. I sat down at a bar. I was like, oh, I don't know. What do you feel like making? Because I'm a nice person. I'm like, what do you feel like making? To the bartender. And they're like, you know what? Green apple martinis. I'm making a bunch for these people over here. You want one? I was like, let's do it. So I got one. Tasted like a Jolly Rancher. Tasted like nothing. It was delicious. Threw it back. I was like, that's delightful. I will have another, good sir. And I probably had 6, 8. I don't know. I stopped counting. They were just so good. And I did throw up that night quite a bit. And I never had an apple teeny ever again. Drinking is so violent, isn't it? I don't drink anymore, but boy, those days, the memories that I have, violence. Just retching and gagging, throwing back tequila shots, writing your phone number on your forearm in case you get separated with people. It's just real. It's a lot. You know, maybe I hit it too hard. Old me says, looking back at young me. No such thing. No such thing. Now in Bravo news, per usual, we got a lot going on. Now we know how I feel about Jax and Brittany. I think that they make news. I think they're kind of like, Kim Zolciak. They're always going to think of something to put out into the universe to try to get some clicks. So what we've got going on this week with Jax and Brittany is allegedly he is having an, this is allegedly he is stepping out with his PR person, publicist, I don't know, but longtime publicist. And people think that because they've unfollowed each other, Brax and Jitney have unfollowed one another on the social medias. Meanwhile, he's in Canada with this PR person, and people are taking note of like all of the times that they've been shown hanging out together in over the past years. And he's always very physical with her, I guess. I'm looking at some photos. You know, they're kissing each other on the cheeks. He's pulling her in for a big bear hug. It's very physical. It's intimate. And it could be nothing, but in the Brittany Jax world, it's big news and we're all focused on it. Now I'll say this, if he truly is having an affair with his PR person slash publicist, whatever, then okay, fine. At least she knows him. It's not a rando that he picked up at a bar who may not know what she's fully getting into. This person has seen the good, bad, and ugly. And if she's a PR person, that's perfect. He might actually need to be with somebody who does PR. And we want Brittany to be happy anyway. And she didn't seem like she was. So I don't know. I saw all of that today and I was like, okay. So we'll see what comes of that. Could be a nothing burger. Also stepping out, Michelle, who I believe is still legally married to Jesse, who I'm going to call from now on the Jester. So she has a boyfriend. She's seeing someone. And I don't think they're formally divorced yet because we would have heard about that. So they must just be separated. And she's seeing a man. And I looked this man up because an account called Bravo Investigator reminds me of me, by God. So they're just doing a lot of like deep diving research. And I love it. Like you hear a little inkling of so-and-so is dating someone new. And then they went in and found that like he'd been tagged in one of her friend's photos. So this man's name is Aaron Nosler, apparently, and they seem very happy together. Again, he's a financial advisor. And if you look him up online, which I'm sure you're like little hands are looking him up right now as I've said his name, Aaron, as they would say on Key and Peele, Aaron Nosler looks very different in the photo that's being circulated of him and Michelle rather than the photo that's like his work headshot that's online. Looks like completely different people. Looks like distant cousins. The corporate headshot-ish photo that's online of him is just sort of like, doo-doo-doo. But then the photo of him with Michelle is like, bow-chicka-down. Like he's got his shirt unbuttoned, down. He's got more style. He's got facial hair. It reminds me of the AI-generated mock photo of Mark Zuckerberg that went around this weekend showing Mark Zuckerberg with like better hair, chill. He had facial hair. He had a gold chain on. So they messed with his eyes and made his eyes look more human. So leave it to a robot. Leave it to AI to make Mark Zuckerberg look like a human. And right then I knew the robots were going to win. Right then. But yeah, so this guy looks very different now than what he used to look like years ago when he, I guess, first put this headshot up online. And as I was scrolling for photos, I see something pop up that says podcast with Aaron Nosler. And I was like, what's this? And so I went and I clicked it. And it's a podcast called The Urban Homestead. And it's about this family or friends. I can't tell if it's family or friends or whatever. But they're in Los Angeles and they have turned their home into a garden, and they do a lot of homesteading type of crafts, and you can go visit them and you can do a tour and you can learn from them. And they have a whole business around this now. I'm looking on their website, which is just urbanhomestead.org, and they have something second Sunday of every month: food production, growing soil, so I'm sure they mean like compost, chickens. I'm seeing stuff about knitting, canning, preserving. I love it. All super important stuff. So I'm like, how is this man on that podcast? But they have a ton of podcasts. They've been doing this for a very long time. And he was on their show back in 2018. And I listened to part of it. They gave him 15 minutes. And so I'm like, I can spare 15 minutes for research. This guy, Aaron, he's a financial advisor, but it's for a company called Thrivent, which is a Fortune 500 not-for-profit financial services that connects faith and finances for good. That's important to know. Because you say financial advisor or finance bro, and you think of a certain kind of person, but reading more about that company, and if you listen to this podcast, he is not the finance bro you're thinking of. So they ask him, he's in the room, and you can tell it's not a mic situation like what I'm doing. I'm talking right into a mic. It's clear you can hear me. This is sort of like a conference call. It's like they've got like a batwing phone in the middle of a table. They've got a bunch of people sitting around. And so it's a little bit more echoey. And they're saying to him, tell us about how you became a financial advisor. And he's like, okay. And this is what he says.
I'm probably the most non-typical financial advisor that you'll find, because getting into finance was a leap of faith. So I did quite a few things before, and they range from going to film school to opening my own pawn shop. And finally, I was craving something bigger, and I wanted to really use my talents to...
That man talks slow. That is a slow talker. This is the April 3rd, 2018 episode of Urban Homestead, and it says right on it, Aaron Nosler, he does say at one point that God called him to educate people through finance. So I feel like that's probably still a pillar of his personality, because he's still at the same place, at the same firm. So that could be more up Michelle's alley, and maybe that's very different from Jesse or not. We don't know. But he got connected with these, with the urban homesteading folks, because he said he was searching online for eggs, where he could get like farm fresh eggs, and they came up, and then they connected when he went and visited, and they bonded over the way he grew up and his father being very into sort of natural things and, you know, wheat germ and cod liver oil, a lot of the stuff that people now utilize in our daily lives, and it's not weird to us, but it was weird back then when he was growing up, and so they bonded over that. And be forewarned, in the beginning of the episode, they tell him he's only got 15 minutes to tell his story. And so I'm like, okay, well, even though the episode is named after him, I guess they only give him 15 minutes, and then they talk about, you know, whatever random urban homesteading stuff is happening in Pasadena, where they are. No, he's on the whole episode. So you're going to have to listen to it, or at least I did, at 1.5 to 1.75, because as you heard, there's a lot of pauses. He's a slow talker, so be ready. But good for Michelle. We're happy that she's happy out there living her life. And they were at Craig's. They tagged at Craig's LA, which is so funny, because the rumor about the jester, Hesse, her husband, is that he was at Craig's LA with a bunch of like blonde women, you know, fawning over him. Everybody's at Craig's. What's going on? Y'all got to go to different places. Now, then I saw a post. This is the last topic on the Valley. Then we're going to move on to something else. Then I saw a post about Nia. I've never gone to her page or anyone else's page from the Valley. I see stuff that other people post or whatever. I try not to get hyper-focused on individual cast members of a show. I don't want to be biased. I don't want to, you know, spoil anything. But I saw Nia and her account, and I screamed, because it said Nia Sanchez. And I was like, excuse me? She's a Latina on top of it all? And yes, she is. I looked her up. Her father is Mexican and German. And then her mother was Spanish and white. And somewhere, Hillary from Boston sheds a tear. Never going to happen for you, Hillary. Everybody else probably already knew that. Everybody else has probably already been to everybody's page that's on the Valley and whatever. I had not. So it was just a fun moment for me to see that Nia, the one I'm enjoying, is also a Latina. I liked it. Now, Sarah Galley, Dame Galley of Andy's Girls, She begged me to please watch Vanderpump Rules. So for her, I did, because she wanted to talk about it on her pod. And listen, I can't stand to watch that show because of Schwartz and Sandoval. They drive me crazy. And I was very heavy-handed with the fast-forward jumps, the 10-second jumps, jumps every single time. Lisa came on talking about her restaurant now serving brunch or what. I was like, jump, 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 jump. Or when like Schwartz is coming on there with his platinum, slim, shady hair from the early 2000s. Jump, 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 jump. And what I love about my mind is that if I detest something, it pushes it out. Gone. I barely remember the episode, but I talked about it at length with Gally, and the things I do remember infuriated me. Just trying to make this redemption thing arc for Sandoval is so ridiculous. It's we are off of last. It's not like it's 2 years later. It just happened, and then they went into filming this season. So Sheena and Lala, all these people sort of just like distancing themselves from Ariana and deciding that she doesn't deserve any more support, it seems, or just it feels like it's not going to be the ladies pulling together and being interesting. And I was thinking that Lala, Katie, and Ariana would be able to spin off and have their own show. And I can see that that is just not going to happen now. And the scene where Lala is sitting with Katie and Ariana, and they're getting into a back and forth about Lala saying that Katie, they never hang out. And then Sheena leans over and she's like, well, in my experience, I'm feeling like in being Lala's friend, I'm just like feeling like you just need to check in with her more. Like that's something I've learned. Check in with her more. And Katie and Ariana are sitting there and they're like, what? And Katie starts crying because Lala is telling her she has not been a good friend to her. And she's been busy. Everybody's been busy. And then Lala says like, well, you and Ariana have been so close. And Ariana has this look on her face. She's so sweet. And like, it's a sad look. And she reaches her arm out to touch Lala and be like, don't feel like that. Like, this is not a, you know, you can sit with us is the energy she was giving. And it was very, I thought, genuine and kind. And yet watching it, they're trying hard to make it seem like Katie and Ariana are excluding or they're a clique, and they couldn't be farther from it. And I'm somebody who, I smell a clique from a mile away. I know that kind of girl. This is not that. But I did enjoy Lala having the event to help her pick her sperm donor. I thought that was really fun. Why not? Why not involve everybody? And then, of course, she gets the final pick. So it doesn't matter what everybody weighs in on, you know? And I described it to Gally, like, it reminds me of, like, Say Yes to the Dress. Like, she doesn't have to go with the person that her friends like the most. Just like in Say Yes to the Dress, you take everybody's opinion. You're like, you're here because you matter to me. You're here because you're important to me. And thank you for your input. You don't like this one. You like that one. You're getting into a fight about something random that happened 10 years ago. And I'm going to pick the dress that I want. One area where I'm always flying blind when it comes to Vanderpump Rules is Joe. I never watched the seasons when this person, Joe, was on. And so now I'm seeing these clips where I guess this person was on a live with a friend of theirs. And they were talking about, talking about Schwartz. And I can't even, I'm not even going to say what she said she did. Ew, Schwartz is so gross to me. You have no idea. It's kryptonite. Like, get thee to a nunnery rather than that. Cooch, kryptonite, extra strength. Make my whole body shrivel up like pouring salt on a slug. So anyway, she's on a live talking about that. So the bottom line is people are saying that she had a 7-year friendship, close friendship with Kristen, and then she ghosted her one day. And people are saying that that's because she didn't need her anymore. And this all happens. This all became a kerfluffle because somebody in the comments, somebody messy boots, said, would you ever be friends with Kristen again? And she laughs and says, no. So Zach shows up on her live on the commentary and he says, okay, so ... rolling eyes emoji, which we know I hate the rolling eyes emoji. And he gave her four of them. I'm going to skip around on this because there's some stuff that's nuanced and I don't know what he's talking about and I don't care to know. But he says, you never talk with Tom, as in Schwartz. because he doesn't want to talk with you. And if he does, it's out of politeness. Ooh, imagine someone saying that to you after you just went on a live and talked about how you pleasured this person. Ew. And then he writes you, Y-O-U, all caps, you are the one that gave up your friendship with Kristen and decided that being on TV was more important than someone who has been there for you, supported you, paid, all capitals, for you, when no one else was. Don't say you wouldn't be friends with Kristen again, like you have a choice. And then Kristen shows up and she writes, LOL. So there's that drama. But at the end of the day, who really cares about Joe? I don't know this person. And that all felt very high school and weird and immature. But did I just describe VPR? I did. Something else that happened this week was there was a dirty rumor that Andy was working on like a compensation package to leave Bravo because of all the kerfluffle. Really, it's all Bethany. And boy, would that make her happy. But untrue. And I never shared one thing about it because as soon as I saw it, I was like, no way. Godfather's not going out anyway but feet first from Bravo. No way. This is his creation. This is his house. Show some respect. He's going to weather all storms. I mean, he loves it. You've seen his face light up during a reunion when people are being sassy. It completes him. All right, if your speakers are really good or your headphones are really good, then like 2 seconds ago, you will have heard a fox yelling right outside my window. Because the fox is like best friends with my dog. And so it yells for my dog to come outside. So I had to stop what I was doing, run and let my dog outside because the fox wanted to play with her. They're such good friends. I would love it if the fox loved me. And what I would do is I would train the fox to lay across my shoulders and we would go to fancy places and people would think it was a dead fox. And then it would look up and I would feed it things and freak people out. Wouldn't that be fun? That's the kind of old lady I want to be. But right now I'm trying to befriend the crows. If anybody else has befriended crows, what kind of a podcast is this? I don't know. Isn't it fun? If you could see me out in my yard, I'm like, I call at the crows. I try to talk to them. I throw kibble. I really want the crows to be my friends. I have heard many cool stories about people who have befriended the crows. So that's a goal of mine. We'll see if I make it happen. Okay, but enough of wildlife. Back to Andy. No way he's ever leaving Bravo. That man loves the housewives, loves the drama, lives for it. He's not going anywhere. Oh, the funniest thing I saw this week too, by the way, was there was something was shared about PK's show that he had in the UK about him being, and this was the title of the article. It was like, Channel 4, Axe's show fronted by London-born tycoon after only one series. And I was like, is the tycoon in the room with us? What tycoon are you talking about? All I see is a picture of PK and Dorit, and she's got weird Ramona eyes on. What tycoon? Details on it said that the property program last aired in October of 2023 and followed a group of real estate agents attempting to demonstrate their abilities to sell luxury properties to PK, who went on to give one property seller the opportunity of a lifetime. At the end of the series, he wanted to, quote, share his knowledge with a bunch of real estate agents in the UK after his own struggles. Was that the opportunity of a lifetime? To just hear PK talk about how he messed up with real estate? We've all heard that story. Now, I've got some followers from the UK, and I love it because they tell me things. And one of them wrote to me, thank you so much if you also listen to the pod. And she said she's never once seen that show on television. Like, she had no awareness that it had even aired or anything about it. Even though Channel 4 is, I guess, a pretty big channel, but they have, like, split-off channels. They have side channels. So she could offer me no feedback. So I went to the interwebs to see if I could catch the show at all, and I found it. I did not find full episodes from beginning to end, but I found kind of like a vignette thing put together with, you know, 2 to 3 minute clips of the show at a time on YouTube from Channel 4. And it's a bit of a snooze fest. It's what you would imagine. People wearing brand name clothes. It's like Selling Sunset, you know? People wearing brand name clothes, carrying probably knockoff Birkins, trying to seem very polished and important and selling $20 million homes. And PK shows up and he's pretty much like, you have got to impress me now. You better sell this house. And he's got his homeless, not toothless veneers. Of course, I'm paraphrasing, but it's pretty much like, we will sell this house today energy. You've got to sell me this $20 million mansion. You've only got £2,000 to throw a party. You're going to have to work together. I see you've got a band. The band's too loud. I can't even hear myself thinking here. And he's the narrator of the show, too. So as B-roll is going of people with champagne in a very expensive house, he's like, these people only got four potential buyers. But thankfully, my associates back the house to make sure we sell this property. So it's a lot of PK. It's PK heavy. It's PK forward. So it is really like a blend of Selling Sunset and The Apprentice. And yeah. Oh my God, I'm like crying laughing because I never thought to scroll down to see what the comments on YouTube are. And they don't disappoint. There's only three of them. There's only three of them. And I don't know where everybody's from and if they've seen all of it or if they're, you know, from the UK or America or whatever. But the first comment is, what's this BS? It got four likes. The next one is, this is total BS with a laughing face. That got three likes. And then the last comment is, the show is low budget disaster and a complete waste of time, ! And that got three likes. Those are the only comments. Those are the only comments. What I love about those comments, they're not mean. And as so many things in our world right now are fake in ways that sometimes we can tell and sometimes we can't. So if a show comes out or whatever, they could flood the comments with not necessarily bots, but even, well, yeah, bots, but also like people, they like ask them to go leave a positive comment. And I love when that doesn't happen and it truly is organic and just opinions and thoughts from the average person as they are supposed to be. And that's why I love that. And that makes me laugh. And speaking of fakery, I need someone to explain to me how Crystal has been let go from Beverly Hills, and we have not heard anything about Dorit. How are they going to keep on a woman whose storyline really has been trying to sell Coca-Cola products and then still talking about the PTSD from multiple robberies? And I wish my British humor husband was more supportive of me. Like, are you kidding? How are you going to let Crystal go and keep that? If they keep Dorit, we're in trouble with Beverly Hills. I used to enjoy Dorit. What I'm saying is sometimes people need a break. She used to have her own voice and viewpoint. I think she's fallen in line with Kyle's clique, is what I'm going to call it. And she's lost her way, and I think a break would be good. Think about it. She could drink as much Diet Coke and, well, shoot, no, she wanted a Coke regular. Coca-Cola normal. Coca-Cola normal. So she would have a Coca-Cola normal and she could work on her, you know, relationship with PK and they could travel. It would be great. Now, another big news item that happened this week, whether you like it or not, is Taylor Swift dropped a gigantic album. I don't know if it's a double album. Look, I'm not a Swiftie. I'm just doing my best here. I enjoy any distraction from the hellscape that we have created called life. So I absolutely have enjoyed moments of levity from Tavis. I haven't listened to every song on, there's like 30 songs. There's only so much that I can do because if I like a song, I need to listen to it a few times to really like get it to click. So my favorites right now are I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. I think that is the danciest one and I love a dance song. Her sad songs, I really, really enjoy a sad song. There's a lot of them. I mean, and I think we knew it was going to be probably a sad album because Tortured Poets Department. And it's cathartic for her. She's getting all of this out of her system. She can move on. Great. I feel like the next album is going to be the bebop hits, the Travis upbeat stuff. This album, we're going over some things, some low moments. And so it's very, a lot of the songs are really powerful, but they're very sad. And I think just moments like this are so fun when there's something that happens on a large scale and the majority of the population is into it or following it or saying funny things about it online. The memes are hilarious. The takes, people are repurposing the songs. I love all of it. I think it's so unifying for all of us. Like when Beyonce's album dropped and everybody was doing their own country line dancing versions of her song before the evil corporation UMG pulled all of their music from TikTok so that everybody's videos went suddenly mute and silent. That was so fun. You guys should do that more so you just make a few more pennies and dollars while the artists really don't make that much. That's so cool. Now, her song that's getting a lot of attention, of course, Scandal stuff always gets attention. She wrote a song called Thank You, Amy. The K in thank you is capitalized, as well as Amy is spelled A-I-M-E-E, and the I and M are capitalized, so Kim. And so the song is about essentially like a high school bully who is really awful to her and she has to overcome it. And she's like, while you were saying terrible things about me, I was building something great that can't be denied. It's a bop. First of all, it's a good song. Secondly, message is strong. Thirdly, wow, just went right after. Apparently, allegedly, a lot of people believe it's obviously Kim Kardashian. There's a fringe theory out there, though, that it's about someone else, that it's about Karlie Kloss because Kim Kardashian. I'm like, she says Kim in the title. Like, the K-I-M is there. And anyone who's been following me for a really long time knows I am not a Kardashians fan. I haven't been. I used to watch the show, as we all, I'm sure, whether we want to or not. It's hit our eyeballs at some point because it's always on and they are everywhere. I reject everything. If an ad comes up for Skims or whatever, I'm like, not interested. Do not like the brand or creator. For the rest of my life, like, they have messed with the wrong person because here's the origin story of why I do not like the Kardashians anymore. Years ago, I had just started my account and a photo was circulating and it was a bikini photo that, what's her name? I love that I can't remember. The one in the middle or the youngest one, Chloe. God, I love that it took me that long to remember her name. Her grandmother had taken a photo of her in their backyard and she had posted it to her account being like, look at my beautiful granddaughter or whatever. And she didn't like it. Chloe didn't like that photo of her. And so anybody who reshared it, which is a ton of people because they have a lot of fans because that's how they make their money. They've sold their private life for cash. And so people follow them and have thoughts about everything they do. And so they were sharing it and they're being like, oh, look, Chloe. And she didn't like the photo so much because it wasn't retouched at all. It was just a normal photo of a normal, healthy, beautiful human body, but not one that she liked because they are famous for the filters and the, I don't even know how it all works. And so she tried to get that removed by, accounts were sent letters, legal letters. Some accounts apparently were shut down. Things happened that were out of control over a photo that she did not enjoy. I myself am in this because I did not even post the photo. I posted showing like B-roll of her in the show, talking about the issue of the week, talking about here's what happened this week and she's doing that and she's trying to get the photo pulled down and da da da. It flagged something having to do because I said her name and I don't know if I typed it out or whatever. It got flagged and it was like violation, one more of these in your account. I was like, for what? For what? Like the way that they were cracking down on people for talking about Chloe that week was actually pretty scary. And I remember in that moment being like, I'm done. I'm just done. I don't need to see your sister fights anymore. I'm good. If this is how it is, keep it. I don't want it forever. And that is where I think Bravo is much, much smarter because they are, for the most part, very kind to Bravo fan accounts who cover their shows. We are essentially giving them free marketing all day long. For anybody who's ever worked in marketing communications, that's very valuable. We're updating people about what they're doing. We're making jokes and memes. We're writing summaries. We're getting people to watch shows they perhaps have never watched before. And the Kardashians is one show. Right. And they've switched networks, hoping that people are going to follow them to Hulu. I hope most of them haven't. I'm not like a hater of them, but I'm very much like it was like the moment when Ariana realized who Sandoval really was. It was like somebody turned on a light for me and I was like, yeah, I'm done. So all that to say, I enjoy the song. Thank you, Amy. And I just opened my phone just to double check something. And apparently Jesse on his personal account has in his stories added a photo of him canoodling, hugging, can't tell what he's doing, with a blonde lady who's wearing a floofy, floofy dress. And so I think it might be a tit for tat situation. You know, the news hit that Michelle's seeing somebody. And so now he's putting up a photo like, well, somebody's interested in me too. People like me as well. Thank you, Jesse. Yes, we get it. You jester. Why did I watch the rest of his stories? I have no idea. It did nothing. It did no good things for me. But there's a bird and it's like my face when they ask if I'd like a glass of champagne. But then they hand me a Prosecco and the bird is like giving a stank face. And yeah, that's Jesse. And he's not going to make it when society collapses. I've just got to get to the Ritz. They'll know what to do. The Ritz is gone. If I could just get a glass of champagne to clear my head. The champagne's gone. There's only Prosecco. Oh, Jesse, never change.
He's like, I won't. Even if I could help it, I can't.
We know. And now, because there are no Real Housewives shows playing right now, and if you're already not watching, you know, Below Deck or The Valley or VPR, the other shows that are still on, I'm going to recommend some Netflix and other movies and shows to you. These are ones that I've watched and enjoyed, so I'm not just randomly picking stuff. If you are a true crime fan, there is a show right now on Netflix called What Jennifer Did. It's very stressful to try to describe a show to people without any spoilers, but obviously from the title, Jennifer did something, okay? So you know that going in. It's well done. Again, if you are a true crime fan, you're going to love it. They do a great job of reconstructing sort of the landscape and how we ended up where we end up in the show. It's cold. And I'm sure this person, Jennifer, thought she was very, very smart for trying to do what she did, trying to pull it off, right? And you'll see when you watch. But then she's just talking to the police. Like, so much of the footage reminds me of, you know, American Justice or other shows where they show people sitting in that room being questioned by the police. She has no lawyer next to her. She never once says, I'm not talking to you until I have a lawyer. Nothing. She just gums flapping, freely talking to the police for hours and hours and hours, it seems. If you've watched as much true crime as I have, and I've got some lawyers in the family, don't just freely talk to the police. You don't need to do that. There's a show that messed me up. I think it came out in like 2019 or 2018. It was called The Staircase. If you've seen it, you just yelled because, yeah. After watching The Staircase, and I still am not sure even what I think, but after watching The Staircase, which is where a man is accused of ending his wife's life down a staircase, but there's a ton of other factors in their particular situation. There's a ton of other factors. But after I saw that, I remember I turned to my husband. He doesn't watch these. He can't handle them. He's a golden retriever. I said, listen, something ever happens to me, you come upon my body, you do not talk to the police. You get a great lawyer and you politely have a lawyer say to them, he's distraught. He's not in a good place. He can't talk to you right now because you're going to be the number one suspect. And they're going to be looking for someone to pin that on. Yeah, The Staircase messed me up. It really did. So yes, What Jennifer Did, The Staircase is good. If you have never seen it, then you should just go ahead and watch The Staircase. And I think that's Netflix too. But if you're looking for something lighter, a mood boost instead of a true crime, I talked about this in my stories a while back. I really, really enjoyed the movie Anyone But You. I love it. I think it's very popular. It did really well in theaters, and now it's doing really well as a rental. It is a rom-com. It is based on Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing. And they pay homage to that in a very cute way. Throughout the movie, they have little titles and different quotes and things from the play. And the two actors in it, it's Sydney Sweeney. So if you watch Euphoria, but she's been in a ton of things. And then her counterpart, her interest in the movie is Glenn Powell, who played the new version of Iceman in the latest Top Gun movie that came out like last year. You'll recognize them is what I'm saying. You're going to recognize both of them. And they do a great job. Where it got me was the jokes. They got a lot of one-liners. They got a lot of situations they put each other in. Very, very funny. It's well done. And of course, because it's based on Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing, it's predictable, but you love it. I did anyway. If you are a rom-com fan, you are going to really like this movie. And there were so many rumors about them. The rumors are what I heard about before I even knew that the movie existed. There were rumors that Sydney Sweeney was having an affair with this guy whose name I've already forgotten, even though I said it 2 seconds ago. I took a gummy. Glenn Powell, it came back to me. There was a rumor that she and him were having an affair because they had so much chemistry, because they were having so much fun together at the, you know, things that they would do to promote the movie. But she and her fiance produced this movie and cast him. So there's no there with that situation. But I thought that was cute that they just got along so well that people really believed in real life that they had a thing going. And Sydney Sweeney and her fiance are hoping to produce more rom-coms and more films. And I would love that. I think the world needs more comedies and rom-coms for sure. There's too many sad, tragic movies. I'm never going to get over Manchester by the Sea. I'm never going to get over Atonement. There are movies that I'm going to carry with me. The Last Emperor. I could just keep going. A Tree Grows in Brooklyn. An Imitation of Life. The sad movies stick with me. And so I love the comedies because you got to balance it out. I would like to humbly ask Melissa McCarthy if she could just please make even just one movie a year. Just one a year, just to keep us going. And if you haven't seen the movie Spy, S-P-Y, one word, Spy, three letters, go ahead and rent that and change your life for the better. Melissa McCarthy can do no wrong in my eyes. So if you're going on that journey and you haven't seen Spy, then maybe you haven't seen The Boss, a 2016 film about a boss lady corporate type who gets into running a Girl Scouts troop. Very funny, especially if forever ago you watched Troop Beverly Hills, which I did as a kid. I used to love that movie. This is like a very different take, a very different energy of an adult woman hanging out with these young teen girls and trying to be a mentor to them in a very different way, but still just as endearing and entertaining as Troop Beverly Hills. I talked about Anyone But You in my stories and I recommended it there, but here I am talking about it again because I went ahead and I bought it because I was like, this brought me joy. And I can name on one hand the things that bring me joy in life. So I'm going to buy this movie so I can watch it whenever I would like to. And then I also recently shared in my stories a movie called Sometimes I Think About Dying, which as soon as I saw the title and I saw also that it was Daisy Ridley, I was like, I'm probably going to like this. So I watched it and I did enjoy it. And I went back and forth with a lady in my DMs who knew somebody who worked on the movie. And she hadn't seen it yet though. And I was like, please tell your friend, whoever worked on the movie, that these are the things I liked about it specifically. And my favorite thing about it, it is a very different movie, by the way. It's an indie movie. It's very much focused on this young woman who works in an office in a cubicle, which I can relate to so much. And I've never seen a movie or show that better encapsulated and described what it's like working in an office setting. And this is one of those movies that I could probably talk about and think about different ways of looking at it for hours because, you know, the movie's called Sometimes I Think About Dying. And it literally that, like throughout the movie, every now and then she'll just think about dying. Not in a self-harm way, just sort of like a I give up way. And that is, you know, dark comedy at its best. But it's a whole journey for this character, for Daisy Ridley's character throughout the movie, from where she starts to where she ends and things that happen. And the scene to me that best describe what it's like working in an office, somebody hands her a card and they're like, hey, it's so-and-so's last day. Write something to her and it's a surprise. We're going to give it to her at the end of the day. So just don't say anything about it. And they give her this card and she's trying to think like, what is she going to say to this person? She's never had a conversation with this person. And she's looking at what everybody else wrote in the card. And it's like, I'm going to miss you so much. It's been so great, you know, working with you for these X number of years. And she's like, I got nothing to say to this woman. And she looks up to look at the woman for any kind of inspiration. And the movie shows her flashing back, thinking about all the times that she's worked there. and looked up and seen that woman, and they just do this flash of all, and she never really even sees her face. She just sort of sees her joking with other colleagues, the side of her head. She has nothing to go on of what to put in the card for this lady. And if you work in an office or a place like that, it feels like that all the time. It's always somebody's birthday. It's always somebody's having a baby. They're going to go, and you may not even know them. You're just given these cards. It's like, shh, it's a surprise. Oh, and can you chip in $5? No, the company should be doing that. The company should be chipping in the money. Of course, I would do it when asked, but I'm just saying as a whole, what are we doing? Make the company do that. The other thing that I really liked about that movie is that she has a love interest in the movie. And so many movies that we watch now, people are, here I am coming right from, you know, Anyone But You, where they're these two hyper-perfect bodies. Everybody in the movie has an amazing, perfect body and face. It's just like a model. But in Sometimes I Think About Dying, her love interest is like a normal person, a guy you would see just walking down the street. And it was very refreshing to see her play opposite just a normal looking person. But before you go in, if you're an indie movie fan and you're okay with like a very slow paced movie, that's what that is. If that's not for you, don't watch it then. Oh, I just remembered something for you to be looking for if you decided to watch the show What Jennifer Did on Netflix. They're going to show photos of her at one point. Happy, right? Look at her hands. AI cannot do human hands. And people figured out right away, I didn't because I was on a gummy. People figured out right away that they used AI to generate photos of this woman, Jennifer, because they didn't have any, and of her when she was in happier moments. And so they plugged stuff into AI and AI generated photos, but they noticed it because the hands are warped. So you'll see. It's like a pointer finger and then a blob of flesh because it can't figure out how to do the intricate details of hands, which is kind of nice, right? Because then you know for sure, like you know if something is photo generated because you could just ask somebody, well, show me a picture and make sure your hands are in it. And it's like, at least for these next few years, you can be sure that that was either computer generated or not. Something I'm hoping to have time to watch this week is a movie called Immaculate. It's another Sydney Sweeney movie, but it is not a rom-com, sadly. It's supposed to be a thriller slash horror movie, and she plays a nun at a remote convent in Italy, I believe, and it turns bad. Something goes bad and is scary, and I don't know. I don't know if I want to see a scary movie, but I'm going to give it a try because I want to support women making movies, and we'll see if I like it or not. And with this nice break between Real Housewives stuff, you have time now to watch Dune, part one and or part two. Dune is available for rent or purchase. And I just really like this new reimagining of Dune. It's visually stunning. Dune 2 is so amazing, the things that they've done with it. And of course, the entire series is, there's so many grander themes and messages about it, warnings about religious zealots and believing, following a leader and things like that. But there's also love stories and challengers and warriors. And I am just such a Rebecca Ferguson, Zendaya fan. Rebecca Ferguson plays the mother, Jessica. And it's one of those actors that you realize I've loved everything that they've ever been in. She's just great. And Zendaya can do no wrong. So that goes unsaid. All right, the gummy is hitting me. We've gone over all the Bravo news that I'm aware of in this moment, and we have movie reviews. So you have things to keep yourself busy. Now, next part, I'm going to try to be going over Below Deck, as well as whatever hijinks the Valley Group gets into. Because after I watched that one episode with Jill on, and I was like, oh, you know, Frasier, he's so great. And he's going to kick off that girl who's been causing problems. One of my followers was like, I've been watching this season. I think Frasier's the one who's been stirring stuff up and she's reacting to his drama. And I'm like, what? So I kind of want to watch the whole thing, the whole season thus far, and then give my thoughts. Because we have seen Chief Stews act a fool before. Do you remember that season when Kate was like outside of somebody's door, like playing crazy music really loud. I thought that was a bit too much. She wanted this woman to leave the boat faster. I'm sure some of the things that Kate did after a while was for good TV, but still, I was like, that's too much. My favorite stew that I've ever seen on Below Deck, I really think is Daisy. She is so good, but positive. She keeps a really good line of communication open with everyone. And you just feel like she really is a great leader and manager and crewmate. But she's still super funny. She still has a great time with everybody. I love when Daisy's the chief stew. All right, I got to get out of here. My home isn't going to stead itself. In the interim, like and follow, subscribe to this pod, whatever buttons you need to push. But whatever you do, don't be like Joe, who I don't even know. And apparently her real name is Kaylee, whatever. Don't be like Joe. Don't go online and talk about how you used to pleasure a gross guy on Vanderpump Rules like that somehow. A flex? It is not a flex. It is gross.